Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy Lou, it's Mother's Day coming up.
It is. It's a great holiday.
It's Mother's Day today.
It is. It's Sunday. And it's a great day to honor mothers who do so much for all of us. And that is really the idea. You know, the holiday sort of started with the idea of writing a letter to your mother and thanking her for all the love and special things she's done for you. I think that's a great way to actually celebrate the holiday.
Is that real?
That
it
is
started
real.
With writing a letter to your mother?
It did. It was started by Anna Jarvis, and her mother had done a lot of things for soldiers in the Civil War and was a nurse. And by the early 1900s, her daughter had thought that mothers should be honored. And eventually the president made it an official holiday in the early 1900s.
So was Anna Jarvis a good cook?
I don't know. I didn't read anything about how good of a cook she was.
She
was a pretty good daughter, though.
Did she take her mom out to lunch?
No. I don't know.
Because it's the crazy thing. I mean, Mother's Day for us, immediately, we're in the restaurant business. Immediately, we think of Mother's Day as one of the two or three busiest days of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it
is. And it's one of those things that it's hard to think about it from not a business perspective, but for most of the world.
And that's why I said what I just said, because we are so used to, you know, our lives revolve around holidays and that these are the largest days in the business. And we tend to probably lose a little bit of focus on the point of some of these holidays because we don't really celebrate them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always try to spend time reminding people what we do, you know, reminding staff that are going to be taking care of so many families and moms that it's such a big deal that
right.
it is a
they know it's a
it
special
is a special
day.
Treat
and, Absolutely.
Yeah, and more it's about the people in the seats, not about the people that you're missing seeing that day when you're working on that busy day.
So we think a lot about food on Mother's Day, and I think a lot of fathers are doing a lot of cooking. And I know back when I was a child, when we were children, probably fathers weren't the best of cooks, maybe because women were still pretty well in the home when we were kids. Anyway.
I wonder how many moms got steaks for Mother's Day lunch or
or hamburgers or something grilled. Yeah. You know, if it was a nice day, it was probably something grilled or something pretty simple or maybe something breakfast oriented.
My dad, if he was making a meal, the stuff he was best at when I was a kid were fried peanut butter and cheese and banana sandwiches, almost Elvis style. And I really can't imagine anyone's mother actually wanting that.
I don't see any moms wanting that, no.
Did your dad make Mother's Day meals for
you? Well,
you know,
my dad was in the beef business, so he was a big beef guy, and we would always have a steak, as you said. Or he would cook a prime rib in the oven, and he would always make baked potatoes. I remember that. So things that, you know, were pretty simple, but shoot, it was always really good. He might cook some broccoli or something. You know, and I think also with Mother's Day being at the start of spring, so it's supposed to be the second Sunday in May, you know, in some regions, particularly in the South, you would have had strawberries possibly already or, you know, local asparagus as we have here now. So, you know, it's certainly an opportunity and it used to always be a time to serve things that were local and good.
So when you write the cool thing is it comes right when the very first products come to market.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
This year with a terrible winter.
Yeah, well.
I mean, we barely got asparagus in time, and we're barely getting strawberries.
Right, and we're not having much heat.
I mean, the strawberries we're getting are from Southern Virginia. They come on Sunday, so it's impossible to really get them on the menus. But when you were thinking about Mother's Day this year. And think about now versus, you know, 20 years ago, writing a Mother's Day menu. You think about it differently at all? Are you thinking about what families want, what moms want? What is your thought process?
Well, I think, you know, everything is a little bit more healthy, perhaps, than it was 20 or 30 years ago, you know, because we do have so many things that we can get now versus cooking even 30 years ago when you could hardly find shallots, if you can imagine that. So, you know, I think we're thinking healthy. I also start to think about, people get very excited about crab meat this time of the year. So,
your first soft crab.
You
That's
do.
Definitely.
So we've been serving soft shells for several weeks. And if it falls at the right time, it certainly would be nice to be able to serve soft shells for Mother's Day. And you could, you know, pan fry those and not have it be a big problem unless you have a really big family. It would probably gather up a lot of space on your stove if you had 20
Baltimore,
people.
Baltimore, traditionally, big Catholic family, you got 25 people at the table. Yeah. If you're frying one soft crab at a time, you can be
that
a long time at
fun.
Lunch.
Yeah. No, that would be a mess. But if you did have a small family, or you can just, you know, if you can find crab meat, and I'm not sure that we're going to, you know, I think we're going to have crab meat for this weekend, but it's going to be sparse and it's probably going to be from the South and, you know, it should be good. It should be excellent. I mean,
yeah,
I'm serving crab
figure cakes. Memorial Day, if you
right, and yeah. and that's it. You know, we start to see crawfish in April from the South, and we do start to see crab meat from the South in April. So, you know, with my menu at Charleston this year, we're kind of doing an unusual thing where we're open in the daytime and then we're also open in the evening with a break in the middle. So that daytime service, I put salmon with hollandaise on, and we did put crab cakes on, and I just recently took shrimp and grits off the menu, which have been on the menu since we opened. Savannah, so that would be almost 19 years ago now, and I just took them off. So I put them back on for Mother's Day because that's a great daytime dish. It's a great anytime dish, but certainly shrimp and grits was traditionally a breakfast dish. So those things that are on the menu are really geared towards that daytime, and you know, just things that we all think
of. Sort of lavish, slow Southern lunch.
Exactly, exactly. And then, you know, the full menu is on, so you have many, many things to choose from. But, you know, one of the things I would have liked to have put on, which doesn't necessarily work at Charleston, but certainly does at some of our other restaurants, is, you know, great waffles. I used to make, at Savannah, I used to make two breakfast items that were very, very popular. One was a whole wheat waffle, which I have, will put the recipe up, with a pecan syrup that I made myself. And those were really, really good. They had a little bit of buttermilk in the whole wheat waffle mixture, and then we made peach pancakes, and I would say that we used to make them a little bit out of season, but I don't think anybody really minded.
No, people and, freaked out.
They were
when they
very popular.
Available.
Yeah, and we used to make a brown sugar butter for those peach pancakes. So, you know, we can't get peaches
just so that
now,
you go into like hyperglycemic shock after after having that.
It was just a little bit of brown sugar in the butter that you put on top of your pancake, and we used to pipe that into a little rosette so you could, you know, have a pretty little
kind of melting on
garnish
the
on your pancake. And those pancakes were made with buttermilk as well. So, you know, those are things that are nice to think about, particularly if you do want to take a, you know, maybe breakfast in bed to the kids to get involved, and that's so special for a mother to have.
That's what
that
I'm
sort
wondering.
Of attention.
How many people this morning made breakfast in bed for moms.
I think that's a nice thing to do.
And what they made.
Yeah, and how fun that the kids get involved, and maybe you have really small children. That would be very special for them to get involved and maybe having some of their first cooking experiences and to learn, you know, what it's like to bring joy to somebody through food, because that's what you're doing. And showing them how much you love them. That's what we all do when we cook. We're showing people love through food. I really believe that. And, you know, the love for the food and the love for the person.
Well, that's all the best. I mean, all the best times in life are shared times at the table where you're
absolutely
eating and drinking together.
Mm-hmm.
And now the two big questions that I have about that tray going up to mom is, one, did you remember to cut a flower and put it on, you know,
yes,
put it in a vase
nice.
On that tray?
Mm-hmm.
That's important. And two, are you getting her a glass of champagne right away with her breakfast?
Seems like a good way to start the day.
Get
the
day going on.
Or a mimosa. You know, you could buy a less expensive champagne. What would you suggest for a mimosa?
Mimosa is one of those things I have.
You have a problem with?
Well, no, you know me. I'm a weird cocktail person.
Mm.
When the bartender that knows me knows if I want a whiskey sour, it means you take a nice orange peel and you run around the rim of the glass and you throw it away and you put whiskey in the glass, and that's my whiskey sour. Which is maybe not really a cocktail. It's a lot more like whiskey in a glass that smells
like
oranges. But for mimosas, I wouldn't necessarily put great champagne in that. But that being said, I mean, very good quality cava, prosecco. Cava, honestly, I think you probably want the power of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has good acidity. You don't need the extra sugar that the prosecco carries to make that. Honestly, the great Piemonte sparkling wine, Moscato d'Asti, is almost, I mean, that's lower alcohol. That's 5-6% alcohol. It is almost sort of like fantastic, you know, like white peach soda.
Mm, that sounds good.
And that might be the nicest thing. If you're making those peach pancakes, that might be the fun little thing to put
that
on the tray.
That would be fun. And also, obviously, you want to squeeze your own orange juice. That's the biggest thing. You know, you have this beautiful, fresh, bright, healthy flavor. And so just
I think people
take
think
the
that that's impossible
to
do somehow.
To squeeze your own orange juice. That's so easy. Just buy a Well, they're called reamers, and you can either buy one or you can, at Williams-Sonoma, they have, I love these things, and I keep buying them every time I see them. They have a squeezer for orange, lemon, and lime now, but I have my great-grandmother's old juicer, which is just a, you know, glass.
It still works.
Yeah, yep. Which, and then you can pour it out of it.
That's funny. I have my great-grandmother's also.
Uh-huh. So, you know.
You have to strain out the seeds, though, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. No seeds. So fresh orange juice.
So, and also the other thing I wonder about that tray going upstairs, who is being the most adventurous person putting things on there? Like, what is the wacky recipe that's making its way upstairs? What's going to be the thing that fails and that means they all of a sudden have to find a last minute brunch reservation? Because you get those calls in the restaurants. You get that call at 10:30 or something, and
the
you know
panic.
Everything went south. Mm-hmm. You know, someone made pancakes, or someone made waffles, or someone burned something, or someone halfway burned down the kitchen.
Right. I think the burning is probably the most common thing that, you know, people that aren't experienced cooks are trying to do something very nice for someone and then maybe aren't quite as successful as they could have been. And you know, that happens. So cooking I strongly suggest, well, it's too late to say it today, but I strongly suggest practicing ahead of time.
We had a 10-year-old show up years and years ago in a restaurant in D.C., for brunch on Mother's Day with no eyebrows.
Oh my gosh.
Because he had burned them off.
No, that's awful.
And his dad had called like an hour ahead, completely panicked, like, my son half burned our kitchen down. This is why I'm thinking about this.
Wow.
What disasters. My son half burned our kitchen. It was a George Brown's.
My son half
burned our kitchen down. I really need to do something to take care of my wife. She's completely freaked out. I'm like, one, get her a cocktail. Two, bring everybody. I'll find a table for you.
Sure. Oh, wow.
And here comes this kid. He's got no eyebrows.
That's terrible.
And the front part of his hair had like an artificially melted
Or maybe they should put
situation.
Their bike helmets on before they start cooking.
I don't know. Hmm. Maybe a welder's mask or something like that.
Just stay away from the flames.
So if someone's bringing you a tray, what's the most important thing to you?
To me?
Yeah. It was Mother's Day. Someone's bringing you a tray. Someone's treating you breakfast in bed. What is the most important thing? Is it that flower? Is it the glass of champagne? Is it they cooked for you?
I think it's just that they cooked for me. That would be the greatest gift, is that they you know, someone's thinking about you and doing something special for you. That's the gift. So don't worry too much about the end result. I'm sure no mother is terribly concerned about it in the end.
Now, when we come back, we'll have lots and lots of listener questions. We had lots of interested emails about producer segments from the last Sunday's program and the last several Sunday's programs. All of that and more about moms on Mother's Day on Formula Wolf on Food & Wine.